As the Super Bowl approaches, advertisers are crossing their fingers and hoping the millions they're spending on 30-second spots will be worth the money. After several of last year's ads drew fire for being tasteless, Anheuser-Busch and other companies pledged to clean up their act. One potentially inflammatory ad has already been canceled. Ford Motor Company decided yesterday it will not air a spot for its new pickup truck. The ad featured a priest, a small child, and the word lust. We called New York Times advertising columnist Stuart Elliott to tell us more. He's with us now by phone from his offices in New York. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So what was the mixture of a priest, a small child, and the word lust? That sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, actually.
Well, it turned out to be a very bad joke for the Lincoln Mercury folks and the Ford Motor Company, because in what may be a first for Super Bowl advertising, a big advertiser had to pull one of their very expensive commercials from the game lineup just a few days before.
But how could, I mean, I don't understand how something like that could happen. Certainly, you know, these things don't get put together overnight. The ideas must have been kicked around for months. How does it get to the week before the Super Bowl before somebody says, this might not be good?
Well, it was, as I was told, it was extensively tested and retested and re-retested, and was also reviewed by the Standard and Practices Department at Fox Broadcasting, which is going to be televising the game on Sunday. But Lincoln made a big announcement of the commercial on Tuesday, and it started going up on websites, and some of these protesters who felt that the commercial was insensitive and highly charged were able to watch it online and began registering their objections.
And do we know anything about who these people, the people objecting were?
The group objecting is an organization that identifies itself as a support group for people who have been abused by Catholic priests when they were children.
And I'm just curious, actually, you said something else that struck me. These ads actually appear online now before they get broadcast on the television?
In some cases, they do. About half the advertisers that are running commercials in a Super Bowl like to get publicity about them before the game. So they will, in various ways, disseminate them, whether it's by doing telephone interviews with reporters like myself, or by releasing them on their own internal websites, or by releasing them to other people. Believe it or not, there are actually websites that devote themselves entirely to Super Bowl advertising, and they put up commercials, and there's message boards where you can post comments and vote on your favorite and least favorite spots.
Well, maybe some of our listeners have a question about Super Bowl ads, or maybe want to point to one that they thought worked particularly well. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, or you could even try sending an email, totn@npr.org. You know, we started out by saying that people were promising to be more cautious this year, and of course we started out now talking about the exception to that. But is it your sense that people are being more cautious?
Absolutely. I think it clearly is the case that the advertisers and the ad agencies were really second and third guessing themselves on the content of the commercials in the wake of the fiasco last year with not only the halftime show, but with many commercials that ran in last year's game that viewers considered to be vulgar and tasteless.
But I don't know how to say this properly, but sometimes vulgar and tasteless still attracts the kind of audience and the kind of attention that an advertiser wants and can be an effective ad.
That's absolutely true, but since last year we've been living in an unusual new climate, a highly charged climate where content is being scrutinized as never before. And, you know, just talk to anybody at PBS on that children's television program and ask them about that, and they will tell you that that is indeed the case.
So, but it's interesting that, I mean, you know, I presume, I don't know, actually, that maybe you know the demographics of the people who watch the Super Bowl, but I'm presuming it's, you know, a largely male audience. And
actually, it isn't.
It isn't.
An extraordinarily broad audience, and
wow,
about 45% of the viewers are female.
No kidding. So, are we likely to see ads, you know, I mean, I take it there are then ads specifically targeted to the, well, I don't know, to a female
Yes,
population.
there is. There's several of them. There's going to be a Diet Pepsi commercial. There's going to be a commercial for a new brand of contact lenses from CibaVision. The Cadillac commercial. Cadillac has been trying to appeal to women more as well as men. There are a number of advertisers that are looking to talk to a very broad audience when they do their Super Bowl spots.
Is it still the case that, you know, that advertisers are clamoring for this space, or have the networks had to, you know, lower their prices to get people to come along?
In recent years, the demand has pretty much tracked the health of the general economy. And this year, with the sort of bumpy recovery that we seem to be having, the price for a Super Bowl commercial rose about $100,000 from last year's rate. And the average estimate is a record figure for this Super Bowl on Sunday, and that rate is $2.4 million to each 30 seconds of commercial time.
Wow. We're talking with Stuart Elliott. He's an advertising columnist at the New York Times, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. You know, is there something about a Super Bowl ad, apart from the cost of putting it on the air, that distinguishes it from other ads that are seen during the year?
Well, one of the elements in Super Bowl advertising is that advertisers generally try to debut commercials for the first time on the air during the game. The Super Bowl is maybe the only place left in mass market television, mass media, where people are actually interested in commercials and are looking forward to them, or at least are willing to watch them and not zip them or zap them. And I think part of the bargain, if you will, that the advertisers make with the viewers is that they say, well, look, we'll give you brand new commercials you've never seen before, filled with all sorts of entertainment values like music and celebrities and funny animals and talking babies and surprise endings, and in exchange, you'll watch the commercials instead of switching the channel.
Have there been, I mean, I guess there have been a number of pretty memorable ads. Is there one company that sort of led the pack in terms of producing these, or not so much the advertiser, but the advertising agency that sort of had the best track record of producing successful, whatever that exactly means, ads for television for the Super Bowl?
The agency in New York, BBDO, for many years has sort of become the specialist in this type of Super Bowl ad, following this formula of glitzy, high gloss entertainment. And many of the commercials that they've done over the years have been popular with viewers for advertisers such as Visa and FedEx and Pepsi Cola.
Right. And those three, are they some of the biggest advertisers on the game traditionally? I guess Coca-Cola also is one I've seemed to
No,
recall
they're
seeing.
not. Coca-Cola long ago left the Super Bowl. They haven't been on in many years. They were driven off by Pepsi Cola's success in following this formula and appealing to viewers. And the executives at Coke got tired every year of picking up the paper on Monday morning and seeing in all these sort of polls and surveys and ad meters that their commercials finished dozens of places lower than the Pepsi commercials.
Wow.
So Coke has not been on the Super Bowl in
Coke
many
is
years
out.
now.
But Anheuser-Busch?
Anheuser-Busch is also, they follow this formula. They use a number of different advertising agencies to create these commercials every year. They start working on their Super Bowl ads practically the day after the game is over for the next year, and they produce as many as 30 or 40 different commercials and then test them and reevaluate them and then subject them to more testing and then present them to internally and then and sort of narrow it down to about 10 that they run each year.
Well, and have you seen, I mean, what percentage of the ads that are going to come out have you already seen as a member of the media?
Very few, actually. There's only about a third to a half every year that we members of the media get to see beforehand. A lot of the advertisers do want that element of surprise. Sometimes what we'll get is we'll get like the first 25 seconds of a 30-second commercial with the surprise ending clipped off.
Wow. Wow. Anything, any hints, any rumors, any buzz, anything you can tell us what quarter we should particularly be watching the game for? I mean, let's say the game is boring, okay? I mean, it's possible. It's happened in Super Bowls. So is there a quarter you'd say, look, stay for the third quarter because that's where it's really going to
get
good?
Well, they're pretty dispersed throughout the game, the big glitzy showcase commercials. Anheuser-Busch buys commercial time in every quarter of the game. Pepsi this year is going to be in, I guess, the first quarter and the second quarter. McDonald's might be an interesting commercial. That's going to be in the first quarter. Honda's introducing a new vehicle. They'll be in the first quarter and the fourth quarter. Degree deodorant is introducing a very interesting new commercial in the second quarter.
See, now I just had a really risky campaign strategy. Buy time in overtime. I mean,
actually, there are contingency plans for overtime. I don't believe the Super Bowl has ever gone into overtime, though.
Oh, yes. Well, we'll probably get letters that will tell us for sure whether that's the case or not. Anyway, thank you very much, Stuart Elliott. He's an advertising columnist with the New York Times. He joined us by phone from his offices in New York. Thanks for joining us. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca for Neil Conan, and this is NPR News.